This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A new videotape of Osama bin Laden was broadcast yesterday on the Arab television channel Al Jazeera. It showed bin Laden and his top aide walking in mountainous terrain. The pictures were said to be recorded last spring. In the 2 years since the Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks, the war on terrorism has had successes and failures. Al-Qaeda and its Taliban allies were quickly defeated in Afghanistan. A few of the terrorist leaders were killed. Far more were taken prisoner, and terrorist cells were uncovered from Europe to Southeast Asia. But the terrorists have proved resilient. Bin Laden seems to be alive. New leaders have emerged, and deadly attacks have occurred in a dozen countries during the last year. Experts and officials are now engaged in a serious debate as to whether Al-Qaeda is stronger or weaker than it was 2 years ago. NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
Just this week, the CIA released an unclassified assessment of where the war on Al-Qaeda stands. It is unambiguously upbeat. Al-Qaeda's leadership is reeling from the impact of the counter-terrorist successes of the U.S. and our allies, it says. Osama bin Laden is isolated from the rest of Al-Qaeda. There is a level of disarray and confusion throughout the organization not seen since the collapse of the Taliban in Afghanistan. President Bush used the CIA's assessment in his speech to the nation on Sunday.
Nearly two-thirds of Al-Qaeda's known leaders have been captured or killed, and we continue on Al-Qaeda's trail. We have exposed terrorist front groups, seized terrorist accounts, taken new measures to protect our homeland, and uncovered sleeper cells inside the United States.
That figure of two-thirds of Al-Qaeda's leadership killed or captured is also new. Just last spring, President Bush was using the figure of half. In a speech last week in Washington, Secretary of State Powell suggested that the public never hears of many of the war's accomplishments.
We are succeeding in the global war on terrorism. We are making progress. The victories of our armed forces in Afghanistan and Iraq form part of that success. So do quieter diplomatic victories that you may not hear about, or intelligence victories, or legal victories, law enforcement victories.
But many of those who study Al-Qaeda hold a different view. They see its influence spreading and strengthening the perception in the Islamic world that it is everywhere and nowhere. That's certainly one of the intentions of the release of the bin Laden videotape yesterday, to bolster the belief that he and his movement are indestructible. Daniel Byman worked for the Joint Congressional Committee that issued a report on the September 11th attacks this summer.
There's widespread anger with the United States in the Islamist community, and as a result, Al-Qaeda has large numbers of supporters and probably large numbers of recruits.
Many terrorism experts say that over the past 2 years, new recruits have flocked to Al-Qaeda or other terrorist groups loosely affiliated with it. Stephen Simon of the RAND Corporation tracked Al-Qaeda for the White House in the late 1990s. And he says it has now become a more mature global movement with new, more resilient leaders and possibly even more lethal.
It's just a lot bigger, it seems to me, than it was 2 years ago. And that perhaps is Osama bin Laden's major achievement. It has evolved more fully in the direction in which it was headed. It's therefore more dangerous.
And even those experts like former FBI analyst Matthew Levitt, who dispute the notion that Al-Qaeda is now more lethal, acknowledge the adaptability of the terrorists.
There's a long list of successes that Al-Qaeda has enjoyed at our expense since 9/11, and a much, much longer list of attempted attacks that have been thwarted, either through good counterterrorism activity or through good luck.
It appears there are no permanent successes in the war on terror. New leaders replace those that are killed or captured. Over the past year, key leaders who planned September 11th, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Ramzi bin al-Shib, were seized, and it seemed the momentum had swung in favor of the U.S. But by last spring, bombs began exploding in Morocco and Saudi Arabia and Indonesia and Chechnya and India and now in Iraq. There is plenty of evidence that Al-Qaeda figures were involved in planning some of these attacks. Even in Afghanistan, attacks on American troops and Afghan government forces are on the rise, as Secretary of State Powell recently acknowledged.
There are still Taliban and Al-Qaeda elements operating in Afghanistan and going across the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. We're working closely with the Pakistani authorities to try to seal that very, very rugged, difficult border to seal. And there have been successes in recent weeks as we have taken the fight to them.
That border between Pakistan and Afghanistan still has not been sealed, though, and it continues to be everyone's best guess as to where bin Laden himself is hiding, the likely location of yesterday's video pictures. But there is another border that is emerging of equal importance. The border between Iraq and its neighbors is now largely open and unguarded, and there is growing evidence that foreign fighters are crossing from Syria, Iran, and Saudi Arabia to fight the American troops now occupying Iraq. The Bush administration has always portrayed the war in Iraq as the second battle after Afghanistan of the war on terror. Last May, when President Bush declared the end of major combat operations in Iraq, he also proclaimed mission accomplished. But on Sunday, the president described what is now happening in Iraq differently.
2 years ago, I told the Congress and the country that the war on terror would be a lengthy war, a different kind of war, fought on many fronts in many places. Iraq is now the central front.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, speaking on the Today Show recently, suggested the U.S. war in Iraq had made it so.
Whereas the link with al-Qaeda was very tenuous at best when proposed by the Bush administration, now, in fact, Iraq is going to become a breeding ground for terrorism or a gathering ground, as Afghanistan had.
It is not clear whether foreign terrorists had anything to do with the recent bombings of the UN headquarters in Baghdad or the shrine of Imam Ali in Najaf or the others. But in an audio tape released yesterday, al-Qaeda's number two leader, Ayman Zawahiri, exhorts al-Qaeda's followers to bury U.S. troops in the Iraqi graveyard. Secretary of State Powell said recently there is evidence that they are going to Iraq.
I think it is certainly, for the moment, starting to look like it. There are terrorists who are being drawn to Baghdad. I'm not sure how large these numbers are, how significant the threat is. We are concerned about the fact that some al-Qaeda elements or terrorists may be heading toward Iraq, and they will be dealt with there.
Estimates are that from 1,000 to 3,000 foreign fighters are now in Iraq, and already more than 200 are prisoners of the U.S. military among several thousand Iraqi prisoners. It makes perfect sense, say many terrorism experts, that al-Qaeda would urge its followers to fight there. Iraq is at the heart of the Arab and Islamic world, and the caliphate that ruled Islam for centuries was headquartered in Baghdad. To the terrorists, says Stephen Simon, the U.S. occupation of Iraq validates their explanation of the world and their place in it.
Which is that the U.S. seeks to engulf the Islamic world and to enslave it and to steal its resources. We have done precisely what their rhetoric anticipated that we would do.
Saif al-Adl, who is believed to be al-Qaeda's chief military leader now and operating out of Iran or possibly in Iranian custody, has written on jihad websites about the military lessons of the war with the U.S. and Afghanistan as they might be applied to Iraq now. Daniel Byman believes that the U.S. in Iraq poses an irresistible target for al-Qaeda.
For them, it's also an opportunity. The United States is there in large numbers. Many forces are relatively unprotected. And it's a cause that has widespread sympathy throughout the Middle East. So they can use this to generate anger and to gain recruits as well as to conduct operations.
Matthew Levitt agrees.
Iraq right now is a failed state. There is no one strong central authority, and it therefore provides an ideal operational environment for terrorist groups.
Even in the CIA's glowing summary of 2 years of counter-terrorist operations, the conclusion is not all that reassuring. If al-Qaeda, the organization, is defeated, the document reads, bin Laden's calls for attacks on the U.S. will continue to resonate among Muslim extremists. It takes only a handful of terrorists with little more than creativity, dedication, and luck to successfully cause mass casualties. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.